Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From the bloggulator.com.
This is Bloggulator Radio.
Skewering and fawning over all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. I am Bridget.
I'm Qualler.
And
our opinions are valid.
What are we going to talk about this week, Qualler?
What's been on TV this week that's been dominating the national conversation? A little thing called...
Toddlers and Tiaras?
No. Honey Boo Boo. Yes, Honey Boo Boo.
Uh-huh. I don't think that's premiered yet, but
Does it start tonight, or...?
I don't know, I thought it started... I thought it was, like, coming this
soon,
fall.
Soon.
Wow, we're horrible
I guess I'm just not an expert at Honey Boo Boo. Uh-huh. The Olympics!
Dun 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 dun! I thought you were going to say Breaking Bad.
Well, that too. Okay. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
We are also going to talk about last night's episode of Breaking Bad, episode 4 of season 5, mm-hmm. Titled 51. Do you think it's just a coincidence that the newsroom episode was titled 5/1?
No.
I don't think that could possibly be a coincidence.
I don't believe in coincidences anymore. Aaron Sorkin taught me that.
It's called fate.
Wait, no, not Aaron Sorkin. Who's the one who did Contagion?
Steven Soderbergh.
Steven Soderbergh taught me that. I'm going to stick with Aaron Sorkin.
And Alanis Morissette taught me what irony meant.
Maybe it was Michael Crichton who taught me.
Okay. Jurassic Park or...
Just in general. The Man.
The Man, Michael Crichton. You had a deep, deep, long connection with Michael Crichton.
Yeah.
So. Okay. And then we're also going to talk extensively about season 1 of Homeland, Showtime's fantastic drama, and it's going to be very spoiler heavy, so we'll tell you exactly when to turn off the podcast if you haven't watched the entirety of season 1 of Homeland, because there are going to be mega spoilers involved in that discussion.
Right. It's going to blow your mind.
Oh yeah.
Literally?
I was about to say a pun, but the pun was going to be kind of...
We'll talk
spoilery.
About that later.
Yeah.
So
anyway.
So first, the Olympics.
Yeah. So.
Dun 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 dun.
So point number one.
You talking out?
Okay. Point number one is there seems to be a lot of chatter on the interwebs and otherwise about how NBC, the network, has been packaging the Olympics, specifically by taking kind of the big events of the day and re-editing them in a way so that they're recorded earlier and then presented in this kind of pre-packaged form, so that if you spend any time on the internet at all during your workday,
mm-hmm.
if you browse like ESPN.com or just Twitter in general,
you shouldn't be doing, because you should be working.
Right, you should definitely be,
should
working,
be working.
And I don't condone surfing the internet while you're at
I don't
work.
Condone not being like a productive citizen.
Right.
Like,
and
where
like
you're
100%
like just a good
laser focused on your job.
So
individual responsibility,
that's just
blah, blah,
me,
blah.
Though.
Right, right.
We're libertarians. I'm just kidding.
We're not. So there's a lot of talk about how this is so bad, and I want my Olympics right now.
MTV.
I want it live. I want it now. I want you to show me everything right now.
Wow.
What do you think, Bridget?
The only kind of person who thinks they're entitled to see everything they want right now, show me right now, is like a 15-year-old boy.
Right.
Or Americans.
Yeah, which...
So...
Not surprisingly, this, the NBC's nightly coverage of the Olympics is very America-heavy, and generally very America-getting-gold-medals-heavy.
Well, yeah.
And not only that, but the commentary in things like the gymnastics are very, very U.S.-centric. I tweeted during the USA gymnast women's gymnastics competition that they made Hawk Harrelson from the Chicago White Sox seem really like modest, made him seem like he's not very much of a homer compared to the U.S. announcers. That reference totally went over your head. I'm sorry.
What? I was thinking about the gymnastics. They do a lot of flips.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, though, on gymnastics in general, like, as a sport? They're kind of not great for people's bodies.
Gymnastics?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard on your body?
Yeah.
Not as much as the NFL.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think gymnasts physically are worse off in terms of the kind of strain they put on their body than professional football players.
Mm-hmm.
Gymnasts don't make millions of dollars usually, though.
It's true.
So maybe there's not as big of a pay.
What do you think about, more importantly?
It's a high injury sport, but like...
Yeah.
I don't know. So is a lot of things.
More importantly, what do you think of Gabby Douglas's hair? I heard it's pretty controversial.
Seriously? Which one is that?
She's
the one that on Facebook everyone keeps saying is so cute.
Yeah,
but
she is.
But they're all cute.
Right, that's true.
So I can't... Which one is Gabby Douglas?
I'll show you a picture.
Okay.
Gabby Douglas is also a...
No, describe her. Creepily.
I don't want to... She's also...
Oh, she is cute.
She's adorable. And
she's a cutie.
And she's a Vampire Diaries fan.
Of course she is.
A huge Vampire Diaries fan. So,
what's
well
controversial
done, Gabby
about
Douglas.
Her hair?
She has a ponytail. Hair.
Oh, as opposed to a bun?
CNN.com. I'll show you this article. Opinion. Why focus on Gabby Douglas' hair? Yeah, I don't know. Is it because is that what you normally have?
Is it kind of sloppy or?
I don't know.
I think it looks fine. Actually, I noticed a lot of. Okay, this is gonna sound stupid, but when we were watching the women's gymnastics, I did notice that all of the girls were wearing like their hair kind of pulled back in one of those ponytail flipping under the rubber band. Scrunchy thing that you do when you're like kind of busy and not paying attention.
Right.
So that, but like all the girls, and I noticed that only because I feel like the last Olympics they were all in like perfect tight, like pinned buns, like where nothing is getting loose.
Like and, bun heads in particular.
In
for
particular.
Example.
But so the hair in general looked like a little more cash, which I was surprised about. But then I like the more I thought about it, it's like, well, I mean,
who cares?
Well, and like it's not like. It's going to cause a danger because your ponytail is going to fall out.
Right.
And you're going to trip. I'm sure their hair is secured.
Right.
So what's wrong with her hair?
I don't know.
Okay, well, she's cute. They're all very cute.
Right.
Gymnasts in general are maybe the cutest athletes ever.
They're pretty
they're
adorable.
They're all women's gymnasts. Let's not.
What are your thoughts on Tomas Gonzalez of Chile? Do you think he's a hipster or not? I'm just gonna show you a picture.
Is this really what we're talking about?
Yeah. He has a mustache, as you can see.
I don't think that hipster is even relevant anymore, because now that's just, like...
It's just mainstream.
Yeah.
It's just... Because Ryan Lochte, the Olympic swimmer, just tweeted a picture of himself hanging out with Ludacris on the sidelines of, like, I think it was a basketball game. And he was wearing a cardigan like a hipster, even though he's clearly not a hipster at all.
Ludacris was? Or this
one? No, Ryan Lochte was.
Oh.
So, yeah, you're right. Hipster doesn't mean anything.
So we just solved that problem for you.
You're welcome, America. You're welcome.
So the Olympics, good coverage. So the whole, like, not having it live on NBC, I would like if it were live, because I feel like it's kind of weird that, like, the women's gymnastics hadn't aired yet, but we knew that they won gold medals. So if you're watching the Olympics to see who wins, then it's going to be, like, total spoiler fest.
Right.
If they don't air things until
the
next day.
And to be fair, I think they do broadcast events like that live on their website, although I've only been to the website.
Well, who wants to watch TV on a computer?
Right. I went to their website to watch a track event, and I heard a lot of people complaining about it, and I can kind of see that, because you have to have, like, a cable or satellite login to be able to use it. Mm-hmm. So, in essence, you have to subscribe to something. You can't just actually watch it for free, or, you know, you can't just go to the library, not have any kind of subscription to any kind of cable package, and watch it for free. But I think it actually worked okay for me. So I think it's sort of annoying how things are prepackaged and shown differently, but it doesn't bug me a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's strange that, this is jumping topics, but I'm still upset that the Olympics only happens every 2 years now instead of having one Olympic year happen every 4 years. I'm still angry that they split up the summer and winter games because I think in general it makes each Olympic, I don't know, well, you don't call it like an Olympic cycle because that's
when
summer and winter.
When it's an Olympic year, you're more excited about the fact that this year there are going to be Olympics.
And it only happens every 4 years.
Right.
And this is an Olympic year and all of this year, well, and like, yeah,
right.
So it makes me not, I feel like I've not been that into the Olympics in general, and I've tried this time to psych myself up about it,
mm-hmm.
and every event that I've watched, I've enjoyed, and there have definitely been inspiring, you know,
right,
tear jerk
moments. More
moments.
About the commercials,
but,
in yours.
Yeah. But, like, shut up, but, I'm just less excited because I feel like I can't get hyped up about the Olympics every 2 years, which sounds ridiculous as it's coming out of my mouth, but, like,
right.
I don't know, it seems less exciting.
I kind of like the Summer Olympics better, though.
Because it was also a leap year? I don't
right.
know. See, yeah. But there are events in the Summer Olympics and events in the Winter Olympics that I like, so.
Yeah, I think I like more events in the summer than I do the winter.
So do you think the Winter Olympics just kind of get the short end of this deal?
Because,
like, oh, also
sorta, yeah, a little bit. Because it's like,
where you
hey.
Ski and shoot.
Right.
Wait, is that the summer?
That is the winter. The decathlon.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah. I have enjoyed watching basketball and running events. I've been kind of. I'm not as. Like, I don't think swimming is actually that fun to watch.
No.
On TV or in general because. I would much rather, and I'm a, spoiler alert, humble brag alert, I'm a runner, but I enjoy...
Mark's actually got 17 bronze,
yeah.
bronze medals. Bronze.
Third place is the second loser. No, I enjoy watching the running and the basketball, and I've enjoyed having an
all-basketball...
He also
is basketball. A basketball player.
Yeah, I actually play for...
We play hoops.
Team USA.
Yeah.
I'm actually Russell Westbrook, so.
All right, your real identity, Qualler.
Sorry.
He's not.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I've enjoyed watching the basketball. I enjoy watching women's basketball. I enjoy watching men's basketball less.
I'm really excited about...
I enjoy watching the running, the races, just because, like, the sprinting ones, especially because they're
so fast.
They're so fast and they're so muscular and it's kind of just amazing to see
mm-hmm.
like that.
It makes
caliber
us all
athlete.
Feel really out of shape.
Yeah. Not me.
Oh, and not me either because I'm
right.
I play for the basketball
yeah.
team.
Yeah. And I do that thing where you ski and shoot.
Yeah. Right.
What's it called?
I don't know.
Decathlon. Yeah. So that's the Olympics.
What do you, are you excited about the closing ceremony that
not
will feature
Not even
Blur?
A little bit. Oh, not really.
I am.
The opening ceremony was kind of perfect to watch on the day when I, like, had been out in the sun too long, so I was feeling kind of sunsick, and I was really tired, and we ordered Chinese takeout, and just had, like, a quiet night at home and watched the opening ceremony, and that was fun.
What was fun for me were all of the kind of semi-racist remarks that Matt Lauer and Bob Costas were making.
Oh, you're going to get in trouble for that one, Qualler. I didn't think that they were racist. I thought they were more just
okay,
like,
yeah.
That's a silly country name.
Isn't Djibouti kind of sounds like butt? Isn't that funny?
Also, I feel like we kept pointing out bad things from countries.
Right.
They'd be like, oh, so-and-so said that this part of the world is the most beautiful he's ever seen, but he never knew this horrible dictator.
Right.
I guess he wasn't referring to him.
Right.
It was kind of like having your crabby, like, Minnesota, like, elderly aunt.
Yeah,
there,
exactly.
Watching it with you, and we're like, oh, look at the German athletes. Oh, Germany.
Remember
well,
Hitler.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't so great.
Yeah, we remember Aunt Pearl.
Yeah, yeah.
Guess we can't like them, can
right.
we?
Right. Aunt Pearl.
Oh, South Africa. They look good. Mm. Right. Apartheid. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's awfully sad.
Yeah.
That
talk
was funny.
Yeah. Should we talk about Breaking Bad?
First, I want to say that the best Olympic moment so far is one that I tried to recount to a friend recently and actually started crying again just trying to describe it. And it's a commercial for Nike. And I feel horrible being so emotionally manipulated by Nike. But, like, it's a... Oh, God, I'm going to start crying again. It just shows a boy, maybe, like, 15, 14 years old. And he's...
overweight.
He's fat. He's a fat kid.
He's a fatty.
He's a fat kid. And he's running, kind of shuffling, running. And he's on a road really far away, kind of out in the middle of the country. And then the voiceover says something about what it means to be a champion. So I can't do it.
Bridget cries a lot.
Oh, my gosh. It was just, like...
Yeah.
It was inspiring.
Yeah, good job.
Because if
yeah.
that little fat kid can run with his Nike shoes...
He's a true champion. And we all are.
Maybe we are.
We all are.
Maybe we are.
As long as we exercise.
Even a little bit.
Even a little bit.
Even just
and
the
make the right
bit.
Choices.
Even...
I'm looking at you, Weight of the Nation documentary from HBO.
Yeah, so I'm like a total sucker for... inspirational sports stories. They probably make me cry more than anything else.
Yeah.
Especially inspirational, like, running stories.
Mm.
Or I had to overcome something.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Sports that aren't team sports, especially,
yeah.
maybe.
Yeah. It's good
so,
stuff.
That's the Olympics.
Should we talk about Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo!
Episode 4 of season 5 was last night.
OMG Skyler.
Let's back up and just say there are spoiler alerts.
Okay, spoiler alerts, but we're also not going to, like, waste time
right.
telling you what the plot was.
Let's dig into it.
Skyler. What is happening with Skyler's character this season has been my favorite part of the season so far.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot of people, I hated Skyler at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are still anti-Skyler, and I really don't get that. I feel like she's become an extremely sympathetic and, like, human... I mean, definitely has a lot of flaws, but just a very human kind of character. And I feel like she's really easy to relate to as, like, kind of another, like, side... kind of a good... not foil, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Character to Hank?
To Hank?
I mean, to,
To Walt.
Walt, sorry. Wow. But, Yeah, so Skyler has had some freakouts, and it's just been really intense watching those scenes. Like, they've been giving me chills. Last week's episode where she yelled at Marie, where
mm-hmm.
she was just like,
shut up.
And then this week's episode where she just walks into the pool.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah, made all the hair stand up on the back of my arms.
Yeah, it was intense. I thought last night's episode was really interesting. Especially the scene that really, I think you're talking about, the pool scene was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was amazing visually.
Mm-hmm.
And director Rian Johnson, who he actually directed that The Fly episode.
Mm.
So he came back to direct another.
Controversial.
Right. He came back to direct this episode, and obviously I think the shot of Skyler inside the pool and looking both kind of peaceful and like she wanted to die.
It was like The Awakening.
Was just really haunting in a way that...
or Woody Allen's Antares.
Right. Haunting in a way that I really like where this season is going in terms of giving the entire series some finality.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second episode in a row, actually, that I've been noticing a lot of callbacks to earlier episodes and situations. Walt's talking about back when he had the sports car, and he just said in passing to Walt Jr. that, oh yeah, I've done donuts before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, callbacks to prior episodes. Obviously, the stuff with Walt and holding the Heisenberg hat and wearing it in public and with his family, and kind of symbolizing the fact that he doesn't feel reined in by, he doesn't feel like he has to be dual personalities anymore. Mm. I think he's kind of embraced being Heisenberg everywhere he goes, with everybody, with his family. It's just kind of evolved in a way so that he's from the show's timeline, which Marie had that line about that kind of was a wink to the audience about that in the show's timeline, it was just a year ago. Obviously, there have been like 5 seasons that have passed, but his evolution from, if you think about the pilot episode, it's hard for me to even recollect what he looked, what he was like. I kind of want to go back and revisit the first season to see that. But I think he's, like, overall, it's really interesting to see how what happened at the end of season 4 has turned him into a much bigger monster at home than he ever has been.
Yeah, I can't believe it's only been in the show's timeline a year. Like, I just can't believe it. And the evolution of Walt's character over the course of, somehow over the course of 4 seasons feels very, like, not necessarily subtle. Yeah, subtle, like, slow and believable.
Right.
And it's hard to think, like, the evolution of Walt's character from mild-mannered school teacher to swagger, I don't, whatever, only happening within the course of a year. It makes it harder for me to accept that change a little bit, because it's only been a year.
Right.
But it also maybe hits home the fact that, like, okay, maybe we're all, like, already kind of good or bad, but some of us, that actually gets tested. So maybe Walt was always a bad guy, but it's just never really been tested before.
Yeah.
You know what I don't know. It's kind of crazy, 1 year, and it also makes me wonder why Hank isn't...
Still hasn't
picked up on...
Doesn't have any suspicions.
I mean, sometimes Hank gives Walt these looks, and he's like, or he has this look on his face, like, I'm kind of...
Yeah.
And I wonder if maybe, like, that's, like, okay, he's thinking it, but on the other... But it's his brother-in-law.
Yeah.
So, maybe it's realistic that even if you thought those things...
Yeah.
You'd be like, I can't even...
And that's kind of... Yeah, that's how I kind of chalk it up in my head, too. The other one is Walt Jr. and the obvious tension that was in the dining room when there's that great scene with Skylar breaking the bacon up into the number 51. Uh-huh. Like... And, like, Walt Jr. Seemingly totally oblivious to the fact that Skylar was, like, totally not communicating with Walt and extremely...
Well, was he oblivious or was he, like, pushing his mom? Because I kind of feel like Walt Jr.'s character is kind of the one often when there's, like, tension between his parents or other people, he'll kind of be like, hey, okay, what's going on? Stop acting. Like, he just wants it all to be out in the open.
Well,
so maybe that was him kind of... I thought that was him kind of pushing Skylar, like...
Okay,
you're acting weird, Mom. Stop it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. That's interesting. Alyssa Rosenberg at thinkprogress.com had an interesting article today about last night's episode, especially talking about the scene between Walt and Skylar, where Walt was saying... Where Skylar was saying what were her options to get out, where Walt was kind of interrogating her, saying, what's your plan? And her plans that she was thinking of were, I could give myself a black eye, and kind of the abusive relationship, although to this point, Walter hasn't actually physically...
No, but it's an abusive relationship.
Right.
I think
the fact that this abusive relationship currently, which is a very psychologically abusive relationship right now, is getting more and more out into the open. And she was talking about how that kind of comments on abusive relationships in general in society. I'd be interested to hear your take on that scene, Bridget.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to. that's my work, and I like to separate my work and my pleasure. Not that my work is abusing. Well, whatever. But I thought that scene was really interesting because Walt seemed so oblivious to the fact that he was participating in an abusive relationship as the abuser. Mm-hmm. So Skyler seemed to be, and I have to rewatch it, but Skyler is making all these threats, like, well, I could lie, I could do this, and he's like, oh yeah, then I'll just tell them you're crazy. Which, right. Like, that's completely, like, emotional, like, abusive relationship 101,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Is like, no one's gonna believe you.
Right.
You're acting crazy.
Right.
You're the one with the problem.
And even kind of threatening, I'll send you to an institution.
Right. I mean, he made it very clear, like one would in in a physically abusive relationship, you know, you are isolated, you are trapped, you are in this as deep as I am.
Mm-hmm.
They're my children.
Right.
Right. It was no longer our children. They were my children.
Right.
That's what Walt kept saying. He didn't...
He didn't see anything wrong with the environment they were living
well,
in.
Well, he didn't care...
Right.
...about anything but what was his.
Right.
I mean, that scene between him and Skyler was just, like, heartbreaking for Skyler.
Mm-hmm.
Because... And again, I wonder, like... What would you do if, within a year's time, your marriage had shifted so much
mm-hmm.
that that's the conversation you're having with your husband?
Right.
After you... like, fake attempting to commit suicide, kind of, mm-hmm. to get your kids out of the house, even just for a couple of days.
Right.
You know, I mean, and, you know, they're not real people, but I can't imagine what that would be like, and I think that they did a really, really good job, both of the actors in that scene. Walt seeming just really hardened and in control.
Mm-hmm.
And Skylar seeming just really desperate and out of control, and that the only way that she could think of to get the control back was to fake, which, you know, an abusive mm-hmm. relationship, I mm-hmm. think was interesting because maybe on some level she's not recognizing that she is in an abusive relationship as
right.
well.
Right.
And that Walt really is that bad of a guy. I don't know. I kept wanting her to say, like, okay, then I'll go to the police.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, like, how much could she... So, like, I'll go to the police with what you're doing and say that, you know, you coerced me into doing it.
Right.
I guess I don't know enough about law and order.
Yeah.
To know, like, what her kind of charges she would have. But if she's really that desperate to get the kids away from him, it seems like she could... And that's the thing. She has this really powerful weapon that she didn't use.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the truth. Like, she didn't have to make up a lie.
Right.
About Walt beating her up.
That's true. That's very true.
Right? And it's like, if she's okay with her kids thinking that their dad is a wife beater...
Right.
Then she should be okay with her kids thinking that their dad does drug or deal... you know, is a right. drug dealer. And
right.
Like, so I thought that was interesting that that didn't even come up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seemed like Walt had the upper hand when... He didn't necessarily, but that's... Yeah, and I think that was more evidence of... That was Walt Heisenberg. That wasn't Walt...
Walter White.
Walter White.
Right.
Right, so it's seeping into every aspect of his life, yeah. like you said.
What do you think, now that we've seen... We know that the beginning of the series is his 50th birthday. Last night's episode was his 51st birthday. And we know now that the flash forward and... the season premiere was his 52nd birthday. So, in the next 12 episodes, there has to be another jump in time of another year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just... It puts things into perspective even more about that opening scene. I hate to keep coming back to it.
What do you mean by puts things in
perspective? Well, I hate to keep coming back to the scene and kind of... deconstructing it over and over again, but in terms of trying to predict how the rest of the final season will go and in some ways, in a lot of ways, it's impossible to predict it, especially given this show.
And it's not very fun. Why would you want to... I don't want to predict... I mean...
Well, it's just... I'm intrigued. I get more and more intrigued as each episode goes by, seeing little hints of things that mm-hmm. are shown in that scene. You know, like last week's episode, we didn't get a chance to talk about that that one yet, but there's the reference to Scarface that... The boys are watching Scarface at home, and, you know, obviously that opening scene ends with Walt getting a machine gun, very Scarface-like. Mm-hmm. And the show itself has been, historically, has been one that's had a lot of foreshadowing mm-hmm. in it that you don't pick up on until you go back and watch those episodes again.
That's the beauty of good foreshadowing.
Right, exactly. So... And in that scene, that's the scene where Walt said, nobody lives in this movie, do they? Everyone gets killed in this movie, don't they? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the more things start to come into focus in this season 5, you know, it seems like things also, like, with, we didn't touch much upon the DEA investigation, but mm-hmm. it does seem like things are evolving at a pace with the DEA that... It seems like pretty soon, like, they should be figuring out that Walt is connected to it. I think that's pretty imminent. You know, even, like, the scene at the very end of the episode that focused in on the watch like it was a time bomb. Mm-hmm. And a couple episodes ago, Mike said that you're a ticking time bomb. Well, mm-hmm. you know, just, it's just so rich over and over again. Each episode kind of makes it... the whole experience more and more rich. It's just...
Can we talk about the watch a little bit?
Yeah.
Because that's a fun part of the episode. Because, one, it's a watch, so like Qualler said, like you said, kind of, you know, time passing, ticking time bomb, etc. But Jesse gets him a gift. Jesse, the person whom... Walt has again and again and again kind of screwed over without Jesse's knowing it. Jesse and Walt, that relationship, I think, mirrors in a lot of way Walt and Skyler's relationship now. And I think that's a change from last season, because I think Walt has always been comfortable pretty much almost since, well, maybe, yeah, pretty much since the beginning, right. Manipulating Jesse.
Yeah.
But only now has Walt gotten comfortable manipulating Skyler.
Right.
So, like...
That's true.
Skyler and Walt's... he lied to her for a long time, mm-hmm. but it seems like the relationship he has with Skyler now is the same as the relationship he has with Jesse, which is really sad because I think on Walt's part, there's absolutely no love or caring in his relationship with Jesse. And I think that there were glimpses of that in earlier seasons. In the episode where Walt ends up kind of accidentally killing Jesse's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
When he's talking in the bar with the pilot of the plane.
Yeah.
Who happens to be the girlfriend's father.
Right.
And he's talking about kids, and he's talking about Jesse in that scene as if he were one of his kids. And
right.
That's when, and he's like, you just have to let it go. And that's where he's like, no, I can't let it go. So he... goes to Jesse's house and maybe it's to get his money back, but I think he's actually there because something in him still at that point cares about Jesse
mm-hmm.
and Jesse's future.
Mm-hmm.
He wants Jesse to get out of it.
Right.
You know? But it's gotten to a point now where he doesn't care about Jesse at all except to the extent that he can use Jesse to get what he wants.
Right.
And I think in this last episode, he has... shown, and he basically said that's the relationship he now has with Skyler, because Jesse gives him this watch. There's like what could be a tender moment, what could be a, like, that should be a sting on Walt's conscience, right?
Exactly.
Like, oh, sorry, I broke up you with your relationship. Mm-hmm. Right? I didn't want to hear about it when it happened. I poisoned the kid that you care about,
right?
Your son figure,
right?
I got you to do my dirty work because I got you to kill people for me, right?
Right,
I got
exactly.
you to kill. You have blood on your hands because of me. And I made you think I cared about you. And he gets him this watch for his birthday, and he's sitting in the car looking at the watch, and he's silent. And so there's another moment where you think maybe Walter White, the human, is in there.
Mm-hmm.
The man with some kind of a moral compass is in there.
Right.
But then he gets home and he just waltzes in. Skyler's sitting there totally depressed, smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wearing the watch and he's, like, totally mm-hmm. upbeat. He doesn't give a shit about anything.
And he uses the watch as a point with Skyler in his argument with her.
Right.
He uses the watch to say, this is a person who 2 weeks ago he wanted to kill me and now he got me a watch.
And you...
So...
You'll come around too.
So, right.
But it's like... But that's what... I mean, that was just a chilling end where I think any moment of... And I don't know if that's kind of playing with us the way that The Sopranos played with us.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, you'd have these moments where you kind of want to feel bad for Tony Soprano.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd do something really horrible.
Right.
So I feel like the scene of him getting the watch from Jesse and he's sitting in the car and you can't totally... I was at least reading into that moment Walt feeling something mm-hmm. real.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to feel bad for Walt, and then he goes home and basically says, hey, look at this watch. See this
right.
birthday present. And that person wanted to kill me, and he came around, and you will too. And just Walt's total lack of concern for Skyler.
Yeah.
Just like he has a total lack of concern for Jesse, that was another scene that was, I think, just, like, chilling.
I think, also, going back to his birthday, I had to laugh at the parts where he excitedly told Jesse, it's my birthday. And that's such like a... Not to say that adults who get really excited about their birthdays shouldn't be excited about their birthdays, because birthdays are fun. But it's such like a classic, at least in television, or in television and in life, somebody who's... It's kind of a sign of narcissism in some respects.
Yeah, I think it definitely was in that scene, especially since they're doing this, like, important drug-dealing, dangerous work.
Right.
And, like, Walt doesn't give a shit about when Jesse's birthday is.
Right, exactly.
Right? Or anything and also because, like, not very...
Wasn't there an episode where it was Jesse's birthday and Jesse was kind of, like, sheepishly saying, it's my birthday? Or am I just...
Maybe. I was thinking of a recent episode this season where Jesse's trying to talk... Or Walt's like, how are you doing? How do you feel?
Oh, yeah.
And Jesse tries to talk to him about his relationship, and Walt's like, I mean about the money. Episode. So Walt has... I mean, I think you're right that showed narcissism.
Right.
For Walt. Also because he's like... He seems totally oblivious that he has no one in his life except his son, who doesn't really know him,
mm-hmm.
who cares about him.
Right.
And that it's his birthday.
Right.
I mean, so he's so into celebrating himself when he doesn't care about Jesse, he doesn't care about Skyler, he doesn't care that, like, all these people around him, because of the things he's done, their lives are falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then what does Jesse do? He goes and buys him a watch. I mean, this is, again, I think, kind of contrasting Jesse's character with Walt's character, that at the end of the day, Jesse's a good guy and Walt's just not.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, I like the show because it's more complex than that.
Mm-hmm.
But also there are moments where you're just like, nope, Walt is bad. He's bad.
Right.
He's breaking bad.
He is breaking bad.
I don't know what else to say about this episode.
Yeah. I mean,
we
covered a lot. It was very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I am growing more and more sad that this season will only be halfway over, and then we have to wait another year to get to the end of it.
Yeah, that's pretty horrible.
Yeah.
That's pretty horrible.
Damn you, AMC.
Mm-hmm.
But it will make the final 8 episodes that much sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
Whew!
I know. Should we talk really briefly about Homeland?
Well, there's a lot in season 1 that I want to talk about.
Let's give a teaser about Homeland and promise that our next episode will delve into Homeland more deeply. The next one that...
So you don't wanna...
Well, how much do you wanna...
I kinda wanna devote an entire episode to it. Maybe...
Is this just like last time where we said we were gonna talk about Encore and then we didn't talk about Encore?
Yeah.
Okay, spoiler alert for the rest of this episode.
Okay.
We're just gonna give a brief rundown on the season.
Okay.
Homeland. Awesome. Please watch it.
Ugh.
The end. Homeland was a show that going into it, I knew it was going to happen in terms of like I didn't know all the little details, but I knew that Brody was indeed a terrorist.
And that was because of, why was that?
someone in a class I took.
Okay.
Did it, yeah. Right. So I talked about it in a class I'd taken. Or I hadn't talked about it, but another person gave a very interesting presentation that I don't want to go into because that's not my
right.
work. Yeah. I don't want to plagiarize that. But,
So I knew that Rudy was a terrorist.
I knew that Carrie was right, and I knew that she was going to have a mental breakdown, and that in the end, no one would ever know that she was right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so going into the show knowing that didn't make it any less painful.
Mm-hmm.
Painful in, like, the best possible sense of the term.
Right.
Painful because it was so well executed. So, like, as a viewer, really connecting with these characters, it was painful to mm-hmm. witness Carrie's breakdown. And I think the most, like... Again, I just keep having to go back to chilling. I don't know how else to describe it. But, like, the most just, like, frustrating but also wonderful things about the show is that even Carrie doesn't believe herself at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that everyone else thinks she's crazy, but, like, so if she were Jack Bauer, she would have never lost confidence in herself, and eventually she would have proved them all wrong.
Right.
Right? But she's not Jack Bauer. She's a real human. So
right.
at the end, not only does no one else know that she was right, not even Saul, but she doesn't think that she was right, and in fact thinks that she's crazy. So she's bought into everyone else's perception of her. Brody, on the other hand, because, and it's not, not just, not only was she right, but she actually saved the day.
Right, exactly.
So what landed her in jail and then in the psych ward was actually a total act of heroism, which again, if it was Jack Bauer,
she would have just,
he'd
like,
be a hero.
Run up to Brody and ripped his vest off.
But he'd be a hero. I mean, and instead she's
right.
not at all, and Brody is still seen as the hero, and she's the crazy person. So I also was not a fan of 24. I only ever actually watched a couple episodes, and that was enough for me. Thank you very much.
Okay.
It was a little...
Okay, you specifically, I think the only episodes you watched were the ones... The two episodes where they specifically made a point to try to make it seem like they didn't just interrogate Arab-descended terrorists.
Mm.
I think those are the only two episodes you watched on TV. It's actually... The show itself reminds me a lot of 24 in terms of how it's paced and how the... I know that the creators of the show said that they wanted to make kind of a psychological 24 rather than action-packed 24, but I think the action sequences and even the psychological stuff, how it was paced, is very 24 like and just like the twists and turns that the show goes through.
So many twists and turns.
I mean, the twists that were shocking when they went on, although they didn't seem as I think on 24, probably the nature of the show, you have to have 24 hours worth of things that happen.
Yeah, so 24 had the gimmick thing.
Right. The nature of that is that it they probably had to come up with all kinds of things on the fly that, in retrospect, don't make a whole lot of sense. Like, Jack Bauer ends up murdering, like, 700 people in a given season because he just kills people constantly on the show. But, like, this... But at least in terms of pure storytelling, 24 was really good at pulling the rug from under you, surprise characters getting killed off, surprise reappearances by characters. It had that same kind of feel to it, although the way it was scripted felt like the real-life version of that. So it didn't... So, you know...
Like the more fact realistic that, 24.
Right, like, I was a little bit conflicted after the weekend episode where it seemed like, oh, Brody's not a terrorist at all, and then the very next...
But I knew!
I know. Okay, I know. But as someone who didn't know, I felt a little bit, like...
Let down.
I felt a little bit used by, like, in the next episode it was revealed, oh, actually, he is a terrorist. But I think I think in the end it worked out. I didn't have a problem with it because the show did such an amazing job talking about what is, kind of saying, what is a terrorist? Is a terrorist really any different than the U.S. government? I think in some hands that could be kind of hackneyed, but it was played very intelligently by the writers and by the actors.
Yes.
Damian Lewis obviously is fantastic in the role, and Claire Danes was even more fantastic.
Yeah, and I think I liked that, so, again, I think what I like about this show, kind of what I like about Breaking Bad,
mm-hmm.
and they're kind of similar in that they're, like, suspenseful. I mean, they're different because it's a different kind of suspenseful, because in Breaking Bad, you're kind of experiencing it as
mm-hmm.
Walt is experiencing it, but you get the omniscient kind of viewpoint. In Homeland, I think that the audience is left in the dark more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little, it is a more psychological
mm-hmm.
than Breaking Bad. But also the nature of the story is more just kind of, is he or isn't he? And we don't really have that in Breaking Bad.
Right. It is more of a more of a thriller setup.
Right. Yes. In that sense. Thank you. But what I like about both these shows is that these are, they're kind of, if you described the plot in like a paragraph or a couple sentences, both shows sound kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So Breaking Bad is about an ex high school chemistry teacher who is diagnosed with cancer and then starts selling meth with a former student. Like that could be like a wacky romp or like,
exactly.
And then Homeland is about like a CIA agent, but she has bipolar disorder and, she's
and a POW who might be a terrorist.
Right. But the character, the acting, so they're really well-written shows, they're well-directed, and the acting is so amazing that even though Carrie is the good guy, Brody is the bad guy, Brody is still, so he's a terrorist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in a lot of American whatever, that's like the ultimate bad guy.
Right.
But he's...
But on the other sense...
He's not an unhuman, unsympathetic character.
And in the other... He's traditionally, if you think of the traditional definition of the term terrorist, by American standards, he's a terrorist because he has plans to attack United States government and citizens. But he's also, in so many other ways, represents the classic archetype of an American dad and an American hero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his motivations at the end of the day of not going through with the attack that he planned, one was that he maybe had the idea that if he could get close to the vice president in this congressional role, that could be even more opportunistic.
I think he came up with that plan after, though.
Yeah, I think it was more about the fact that he still has this genuine emotional connection to his family mm-hmm. and to being what a good American male role model should be.
Right.
I think it's really interesting and what I'm interested to see in season two is how that develops and how kind of his struggle between his very real feelings and beliefs that caused him to work with Abu Nazir in the first place, and this pull toward being a good guy and a good role model and all of that. That's going to be really interesting.
Yeah. I am excited. Yes, and similarly, Carrie, who is the Jack Bauer character, in so many ways is represented as very, very differently than Jack Bauer because she's often portrayed as weak.
Right.
Both physically and mentally.
Right.
Right.
And
plagued with self-doubt and has, you know, like,
right.
She has got lots of faults. I feel like Brody, his, like, so he's the terrorist, but we spend more time in the show kind of getting to know his strengths,
mm-hmm.
right? He's a good husband. He's a good dad. I mean, he's also has his freakouts, but he,
right.
you know, when they do flashbacks to the camp with Abu Nazir, he's a compassionate teacher to this little boy. He cares about this boy. He has real good motivation. I'm not necessarily that it's good that he's decided to become a suicide bomber, but you understand kind of where he's coming from, you know. And he's portrayed as strong and noble and and, you know, quietly proud. And Carrie, I think, is portrayed as, like, I think her faults get played up, even though she's, like, kind of running the show. People and I think don't really want to listen to her.
That's interesting because you were talking about how it does kind of parallel Breaking Bad. And I think as the season went on and Carrie and Brody's, Nicholas Brody's relationship developed, it did kind of develop into what you're seeing with Walt and Skyler in a, in maybe not as extreme, but at least in the kind of, I'm just going to throw out the kind of patriarchal, society that we live in. The fact that he still is able to kind of throw over the fact to Carrie that you're just a jealous lover.
You're just
stay
crazy.
Away from my family. You're crazy.
No one will believe you over me.
Right.
Even though he's a POW. I mean, okay. So if you think who should you believe, you have Carrie.
Who's a CIA agent.
Right. Who's right about most things.
Security clearance with the United States government. Right?
And you have a guy who's been missing and presumed dead for 8 years. And you get him home right when someone gets the word that a POW has been turned. But everyone is so quick to call Brody a hero and Carrie
A liar.
Or crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah. And that, yeah, I just, when he went to go visit her, like, as she's getting out of jail, I thought, here's, like, your one moment for, like, vindication, and you can just give her some indication that, like, you were right, and basically, she saved his life.
Right.
Right? By getting his... and he knows it. I mean, the look on his face. Like,
right.
He knows that. He knows that she did that.
Right.
But, well...
He knows that
saved
she
his
right.
life at that moment. Who knows what would happen to him. But, and he... and she's right. He knows it. He's so... I guess Brody is the only one who knows that Carrie's right.
Right.
Which is maybe, like, a little... that. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And then for him to just be like, I'm not who you think I am. But, I mean, there is some truth to... and that's why he's different from Walt, is, like, he really does believe what he's doing is for some greater good.
Right.
And so there's not the same kind of selfishness.
Yeah, I didn't... and I didn't mean to characterize it that he is a bad guy like Walt is, but I think it's... that, to me, and the series as a whole, and the season as a whole, to me... is more commenting on society and the way that gender roles work in society than Breaking Bad is, where Breaking Bad is more of a personal show, I think. Not to say that the characters aren't as strong on Homeland, because I think Carrie Matheson and Nicholas Brody, I think they're both really, really strong.
And
really
all the side
characters
are really strong, too. I mean, you have Saul.
Oh, yeah. Saul
you
not
have
Saul
the,
Goodman.
No. You
Saul,
have the...
Mandy Patinkin.
Yeah, you have the Saul. Brody's wife, the kid. I mean, all the characters are... the Virgil.
Uh-huh.
Who has, like, such a small...
Oh, Virgil.
Part. Carrie's sister.
Yeah.
So, there are a lot of good people on this show.
The little daughter, who's becoming a little more important as it goes on.
Yeah.
I have to say that after, like, immediately after watching the finishing the season, I thought, like, this is a show that should not have a second season. And actually, if it would have just had one season, I think the one season would have told a very, very compelling story. But now that we've been talking about what could happen in season two, I'm a little bit more... obviously, I'm really excited to watch season two, but I think there are some interesting places the show can go going forward.
I'm also really excited to watch season two, but I agree that this, it seems like it's kind of wrapped up. Not in a satisfying way, in terms of it's all...
but I think it was,
in
like
a very dissatisfying
perfect
way,
ending.
But right, but it's over. Oh, and that little glimpse right at the end where she, like, puts it together and she's like, don't let me forget.
And
the doctors are like, oh, it's nothing.
Gets the
it's
electroshock.
Nothing. It's nothing.
So. Yeah, the pun that I was going to say was the shocking conclusion.
It's funny.
You'll
go crazy.
Right.
For Homeland.
Right.
That's how I would have advertised it. All right. Well, we should go.
Yeah, let's get some dinner. We should probably go.
This has been fun, but real nice evening spent with you all. So
we should probably mention that you can watch the first four seasons of Breaking Bad on Netflix, and you can subscribe to Netflix, which is one of our wonderful sponsors. Go to bit.ly/blogflix, bit.ly/blogflix. You can sign up for a 2-week membership trial run there, and after that it's just $8 a month, and if you subscribe via that link you are supporting independent netcasting like our show financially, so do it
or else we'll have to start selling meth,
right?
And then
you don't want that
to happen,
right
or we'll have to start Olympics. I don't know how to tie it to the
Olympics.
So
you can follow me on Twitter at Marqualler, MarQualler. Bridget, are you ever going to be on Twitter again?
Nah. Why don't you find out yourself? At Best Bridget, BestBrigitte.
Follow this show at Blogulator Radio. Follow the Blogulator at The Blogulator.
And listen to the other great netcasts on the Fancy Pants Gangsters Network.
Yes.
This has been fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. I'm excited to eat some dinner.
Yeah, and
our opinions are valid.